Well, as Neil has said, this is the last in our series, and it's always a joy for us. I often think this as I walk across the churchyard coming to Jackson Hall, particularly if it's not raining, and it's usually not raining here on a Wednesday, that it is such a delight for us as ministers to have the opportunity of being with you at lunchtime on Wednesday. And because you're very polite, you wait after dinner until you're dismissed, and we get the opportunity to speak to you. And I hope that this series that we've done, which has been quite different, hasn't it, from our usual series, the basic thought is that one of the distinctives about being a Christian is that it makes non-singers sing. And doesn't necessarily make them sing any better, but it does make them sing. And if you think of the societies of different kinds to which we belong, maybe they've got one song that they sing. You may belong to some kind of political organization and there's one song that's always sung. Or if you were a soccer fan living in the United Kingdom, then when the team came onto the pitch, the field, that is to say, then the fans would sing. For example, if you've ever watched a Liverpool match, once by far the greatest soccer team in the known universe, the fans would always sing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." And hearing 80,000 Liverpudlians sing "You'll Never Walk Alone" can be quite an experience. But coming together and singing, it's a striking mark of the Christian faith. And I think it's probably true that so much of our Western music, until after the period of the Enlightenment in the 18th century, the decline of the influence of the Christian gospel, so much of our Western music has been profoundly influenced by the Christian faith. So much music was supported by the Christian church, which is one reason Western music sounds different from Eastern music. So we've been thinking about various hymns, and today we come to a hymn by the hymn writer Horatius Bonar. If you ever read about Horatius Bonar, you'll discover that he's variously described as Horatius, Horatio, and Horace. But he is one and the same person. He was a 19th century Scottish minister, born in the year 1808, died at the age of 80 in 1889. He didn't quite reach his 81st birthday. And I am delighted that the lot has fallen on me to speak to you about "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say" by Horatius Bonar, because he is, in my humble estimation, one of the greatest of our hymn writers in the English language. For those of us who belong to First Presbyterian Church, if in an idle moment, either before the service or after the service, you want to look up the index to the hymn writers in the Trinity Hymn Book, you'll find that there are probably more hymns in the hymn book written by Horatius Bonar than every other hymn writer, except possibly Isaac Watts, who actually made versions of many of the Psalms, Charles Wesley, who seemed to write a hymn every single week of his life after he became a Christian, and Catherine Winkworth, whose name is less familiar to us because she took many German hymns and translated them into English. So this is not merely Scottish prejudice. It is Scottish prejudice, but it's not merely Scottish prejudice to say that Horatius Bonar was simply one of the greatest hymn writers of the English language. Indeed, there's a wonderful story about him, that a member of his congregation was on vacation in the south of England and met a lady from an entirely different church tradition from the Reformed tradition. the tradition of bells and smells, as people sometimes say. And she discovered that this person was actually a member of Horatius Bonner's congregation. She said, "Is Dr. Bonner the hymn writer still alive? I thought he was a medieval saint." So the power of his hymn writing has been appreciated not just in the Reformed tradition, but wherever Christian hymns are sung. One of the paradoxes of Horatius Bonner's life is this, that he himself would never have sung one of his hymns in his own congregation until sometime during the last decade of his life. Was that just because he was modest? Well, he was modest, but that's not the reason. The reason is, interestingly, he belonged to a denomination of Christians, which was actually true of most Presbyterians through the 19th century, who sang only Old Testament psalms and usually would sing them without any kind of musical accompaniment. That didn't mean that they didn't like music. It meant that they didn't use musical accompaniment. And so it was only from about the time Horatius Bonner was 80, and presumably his voice was no longer in its best condition, that he would ever have stood up in church and sung one of his own hymns. So how is it that a man whose name is famous throughout the world for his marvelous hymns would never sing those hymns until he was a very elderly man? Well, there is a story behind that. Horatius Bonner was the son of an Edinburgh solicitor, an Edinburgh attorney. He had several brothers and sisters. Two of them, I think, died when they were young. And his father died when Horatius Bonner was just a very young boy. He went to the High School of Edinburgh, and just reading some things that his son wrote about him, it's clear that he was a rather outstanding literary scholar. He was fairly fluent in his ability to translate Greek and Latin when he was about 13 or 14. He seems to have known at least some Dutch because he translated a Dutch poem into English. He was cognizant of German. He read classical Hebrew, read his Old Testament in Hebrew. And all in all, he was an able and scholarly individual. But he clearly, even in his teenage years, had a poetic cast of mind. Not quite so unusual in the kind of classical education that Scottish boys had in the 19th century, and even into the 20th century. I enjoyed or suffered the privileges of a highly classical education, and reading about Horatius Bonner again made me think, oh, I remember that. I remember having to write poetry in school. And so it was part of his education, and also it was part of his spirit to be able to express himself in poetry. And he did this throughout his life. His son says that when he was a youngster, after he'd been in to the North Sea for his swim when they were on vacation and shuddered for the appropriate half an hour afterwards because the sea was so jolly cold, he'd watch his dad kind of pacing up and down on the shore, and he would be scribbling lines of poetry. And there are several of Horatius Bonner's poems celebrate the wonders of nature, celebrate what it means to be out in the light of the moon or the reflected light of the moon, what it meant to be beside the sea, what it meant to come to the end of summer vacation and to leave the sea and go back into the city. Somewhere in his teenage years, he became a very decisive and decided Christian. He'd been brought up in a devoted Christian home. Actually, he wrote a poem of gratitude for the faith of his father and his mother, But it's clear from the story of his life that he had to, as many youngsters do when they're brought up in Christian homes, he had to make this his own. Or, having made it his own, in the face of the challenges of youngsters, the ages of 16 and 17 and 18, you only believe this because your parents believe this. He had to work it through that he really belonged to Jesus Christ, and he really meant to serve Jesus Christ with every ounce of his being and with every day of his life. And when that decisiveness marked his life and the lives of two of his brothers who also went into the Presbyterian ministry, the charting of Horatius Bonner's life was directly towards becoming a preacher of the gospel. He went to the University of Edinburgh. He then stayed on and studied in the Divinity School of Edinburgh University under the man he thought was the greatest man he'd ever met, who was almost universally regarded in the 19th century as one of, if not the greatest man in the United Kingdom, Thomas Chalmers, a man of extraordinary genius in a whole variety of areas, but also at this time a professor in the Theological College. And he and his brother Andrew, who actually became better known than Horatius, and their bosom friend Robert Murray McShane, of whom some of you will know, an extraordinary young man through whose ministry countless numbers of people were brought to faith in Jesus Christ, and who died in Dundee in Scotland at the age of 29, and whose biography, written by Horatius's brother Andrew, C.H. Spurgeon said, was by far the greatest biography ever written of any Christian minister, and I commend it to you. It's an extraordinary book, and it also gives you a flavour of the fellowship that these young men enjoyed, their prayerfulness and their absolute commitment to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, once he'd left Theological College, Bonner was appointed as an assistant minister in a church in Leith, in Scotland. For those of you who struggle with Scottish geography, Leith was originally the port city of Edinburgh. It's now indistinguishable from Edinburgh. It happens to be the place where our friend Athol Rennie is planting the first ARP church in Scotland. And incidentally, Athol and his family will be with us here in a couple of weekends' time, and we look forward to seeing them. And one of his responsibilities there was children's work. And he loved children's work. He had a gang of about 220 to 240, basically street urchins, in a Sunday school. And he taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also taught them to sing. And one of the things he noticed, and anyone who has ever worked with children probably notices this, there are some things children love to sing, and there are some things children, frankly, don't like singing very much. And these children apparently did not like singing the whole of the 119th Psalm. But they would sing. He would see them outside of the Sunday school, and they would be singing. And he knew they could sing. And so he developed this burden that he could write songs that they would be able to understand to tunes that they would love to sing. So understandability and singability were the two principles of his hymn writing, which is why, although many of the Bonner hymns just appear in hymn books scattered in among all the other hymns, it's one of the reasons, one, his hymns are so wonderfully simple, and two, they're very memorizable, so that even a child, you would think, could memorize this, which is exactly what his intention was. And so He first of all wrote hymns for children. He then was appointed to be minister of a church in the borders of Scotland, stayed there for about 30 years, then was called back to Edinburgh and ministered in a church there, all the while writing hymns. One point in his life, he was minister of a large congregation, constantly engaged in pastoral work, writing hymns, writing many, many books, some of which have been republished in recent years. If you ever see the name Horatius Bonar on a book, you can buy it with great confidence, and you will find great help in it. And at the same time, because apparently he had nothing else to do, he edited two different magazines. Later on in his life, he said that he thought that he hadn't looked after himself well enough. And during the 19th century, if you make it to almost 81, you know, you've looked after something fairly well. So he was a man of just prodigious energy, and that energy streamed towards Jesus Christ. And I don't think he wrote my favorite hymn, because I'm not sure what my favorite hymn is, but I think he's probably my favorite hymn writer. And the reason for that is twofold. Apart from the wonderful simplicity of his hymns, I think most of us know, I heard the voice of Jesus say often in many different denominations at communion time, Christians sing his great communion hymn, "Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here do I touch and handle things unseen." And he wrote a couple of hymns for the great preaching and singing duo of the late 19th, early 20th century, Moody and Sankey. And a couple of Ira Sankey's most famous solos were actually written by Horatius Bonar. But in this hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say, we have, I think, the quintessence of what makes Bonar such a great hymn writer. There is simplicity. You may never have thought of this before, but this is probably one of the hymns he wrote for children. It's so simple. "I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." It's wonderful, simple verses that he writes. But inside those verses, there is an amazing grasp of what is absolutely central to the Christian faith, which is why Horatius Bonar's hymns are a very good guide to help us get to the very heart of the Christian faith. And one of those things is this, that in his hymns, Jesus is really real. There are actually many hymns in which Jesus is almost absent. Now, if you're singing a hymn about God the Creator, you would think there's no need to mention Jesus, except the Bible tells us Jesus was involved in creation. So there are many hymns in which Jesus is relatively absent. But in Bonar's hymns, Jesus is profoundly present, and as I said, Jesus is really real. I think I could put that like this. I remember an elderly lady in our church a few years ago saying this to me, which moved me very deeply. She said to me, just in a quiet moment of conversation, in which she kind of opened up the shutters of her heart, and she said, "Do you know what I've just realized? That Jesus is more than a character in the creed." I thought that was such a striking thing to say, because the thing was, she just realized it. I think all her life she'd been saying the creed, since she'd been able to memorize anything the length of the creed. I believe in God the Father. She had never doubted it. There was absolutely nothing unorthodox about this woman's faith, except that the real Jesus wasn't actually at center. It was the character in the story when we recite what has happened in the past. Now, think about these words in Bonner's hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say. Now, it would be perfectly proper if Horatius Bonner had said, I read in the Bible one day. That certainly wouldn't be so poetic, but it would almost fit in. I read in the Bible one day that sometime Jesus did say to someone listening by the way. I know that's terrible, but I've just made it up, so you'll forgive me. Come unto me and rest. But I heard the voice of Jesus say to me, come unto me and rest. And for Bonner, that was the, especially when you think he was in the 19th century, he was teaching people things that most people knew. That was for Bonner. And some people have thought this actually may have been the song he wrote to describe how he himself became a decided Christian. He had never doubted any of the teachings of the Christian faith. Never doubted that Jesus had lived in Palestine in the first century. Never doubted that Jesus had died on the cross. Probably never doubted that Jesus had risen from the dead. But never actually known the experience of sensing that Jesus is the Jesus who is still alive and who speaks to his people today and calls them today to follow him. And so when you read these verses, you begin to see how wonderful this is. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come to me and rest. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Now, if you're not very familiar with the Gospels, those statements may be interesting to you, but they won't make full sense to you until you realize that Horatius Bonner is here just picking out of the Gospels three statements of the Lord Jesus. And those three statements come from the texts that are printed there in the bulletin today. The first from Matthew 11:28 through 30. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's verse 1. Verse 2, the story of this woman that Jesus met at the well in Samaria. And Jesus, you remember, Jesus said, would you get me something to drink? She'd come there to get water out of the well. And she began a conversation, and Jesus eventually says to her, if you knew the gift of God, verse 10, and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Living water. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and drink. And then the third verse is derived, of course, from John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so in these three very simple, easily memorizable, wonderfully singable verses, Horatius Bonner tells you how to become a Christian. And he tells you there actually is an order to this. First of all, hearing the voice of Jesus. Have you heard the voice of Jesus speaking livingly? That's what he's really saying. And then first of all, inviting you to come and find rest. To come to him as the one who will bear your burdens, and especially, as many of Bonner's other hymns underline, bear the burden of your past guilt and your sin and the lifestyle that you yourself cannot repair by yourself. And then once you have transferred your burdens to Jesus, what do you discover? That he gives you living water, that he slakes your thirst, that he satisfies the heart desires that were made for love for God and therefore can never be satisfied by anything else. I so wish people would see this, don't you think? When you think of all the things that people want, that they believe is going to bring satisfaction to their lives, it's such a simple thing that if we were made to find our satisfaction in God, no matter how many of those things we amass, they can never bring us satisfaction, which is why people who pursue that route are always searching for more and pressing the borders and pushing the envelope and never being satisfied. But he says, you come to Jesus Christ, and yes, of course, there is so much that's still wrong in the world and with your own life, but at the center of it, you know that you have found a satisfaction in the Lord Jesus. And then you follow him. You come to him, you drink from him, and you follow him. Because he has said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And you see what he's doing in this hymn. He's saying, these are not just verses in an old book. This is what Jesus says when he speaks into our minds and our hearts and our consciences today, calls us to himself. In the interest of full disclosure, I think there's probably a reason that I love this particular hymn so much. And it's because John chapter 8, verse 12, which is the key to verse 3, is the verse that was a key to me becoming a Christian. Probably about the same age as Horatius Bonner. I hope if I live to 80, I'll maintain the spirit of Horatius Bonner. Christian for 66 years. And knowing that every word he wrote here was not only true out there, but it was true in here. And as I reflect on this last verse, I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me. Your morn shall rise and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done. I want to say amen. Now he made 66 years. And I am now at 48 years. And I want to say, every single word of this, I've found true as well. And I know I could point to people in this room and say, isn't that true for you too? So, I think this is a good place to end our whole series, even if it's the first of the series for you. Here's something that demystifies what it means to be a Christian. And cuts right to the heart of the matter. Number one, you hear the voice of Jesus. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not just singing the hymns. It's not just being part of whatever is going on in the church. It's not even just saying the creed. Important though all of these things are, it's hearing the voice of Jesus say three things to you. First of all, come to me and unburden your sins onto me and your need. Second, come to me and drink deeply of my love and of my presence with you. I will never leave you as you trust me. And number three, follow me wherever I lead you. Be that in darkness or in light or in joy or in sorrow. And for most of us, it's in all of these things. And you will never walk in real darkness, but have the light of life. So let's sing Horatius Bonner's marvelous hymn to this well-known tune, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.